Capital Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
The New England Patriots are champions of the National Football League once again.
Yes, it's still a dynasty.
The call on the Patriot Radio Network as they beat the Los Angeles Rams 13-3. For most of the game, it was a defensive struggle. The score was tied 3-3. Then midway through the fourth quarter, Patriot quarterback Tom Brady took over and led the Patriots on a 67-yard drive. That ended by a 2-yard touchdown run by Sony Michel that proved to be the game-winning score. The Patriots added a field goal at the very end. New England wins their sixth Super Bowl championship. Ram fans were disappointed, but Patriot fans were ecstatic.
Oh, six, baby. Six. That's all I got to say.
Go Pats! Heck yeah! Brady number six!
President Trump may face challenges within his own party in 2020. USA's Rick Vincent reports.
Former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld plans to headline Politics and Eggs in New Hampshire in 2 weeks, a must-stop for White House hopefuls. And Maryland Governor Larry Hogan expressed interest this week to CNN.
I'm not protesting every day about every issue, but when I stand up and certainly let people know when I disagree or when I think something is going on that I don't think is right.
And an email this week by former Ohio Governor John Kasich's political group reminded supporters that many have suggested Governor Kasich should run, and he is keeping all of his options on the table. For USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Virginia's governor promises to remain in office despite widespread calls for his resignation. Ralph Northam is trying to distance himself from a racist photo in his 1984 medical school yearbook.
When I was confronted with the images yesterday, I was appalled that they appeared on my page, but I believe then and now that I am not either of the people in that photo.
Northam still faces a chorus of people calling for his resignation. He says he hadn't seen the yearbook until the picture surfaced on Friday. Republican House Speaker Kirk Cox says taking action against him may not be the best course.
And obviously on impeachment, that's a very high standard. And so I think that's why we've called for the resignation. We hope that's what the governor does.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Cars that sound like this. Trust Pennzoil Synthetics to protect their engines in extreme conditions. Top racing teams know that Pennzoil Synthetics give them the performance to help them succeed. And your car's engine deserves the same. Because your daily commute is no less important. Get complete protection for top engine performance, just like the pros. Visit Pennzoil.com/rebate to save on Pennzoil Synthetics. Terms apply.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started. HomeAdvisor.
Ahead of the State of the Union address, President Trump has decided to speak out about several military issues. After the president said sending U.S. troops to Venezuela was an option on the table, Margaret Brennan on CBS's Face the Nation asked him if he would personally negotiate with Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro to convince him he should leave office.
Well, he has requested a meeting, and I've turned it down because we're very far along in the process. You have a young and energetic gentleman, but you have other people within that same group that have been if you talk about democracy, it's really democracy in action.
He also said he wanted to leave U.S. forces in Iraq so he could keep a close eye on Iran. He also claimed that Defense Secretary James Mattis resigned because he told him to do it. This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
The New England Patriots are champions of the National Football League once again.
Yes, it's still a dynasty.
The call on the Patriot Radio Network as they beat the Los Angeles Rams 13-3. For most of the game, it was a defensive struggle. The score was tied 3-3. Then midway through the fourth quarter, Patriot quarterback Tom Brady took over and led the Patriots on a 67-yard drive. That ended by a 2-yard touchdown run by Sony Michel that proved to be the game-winning score. The Patriots added a field goal at the very end. New England wins their sixth Super Bowl championship. Ram fans were disappointed, but Patriot fans were ecstatic.
Oh, six, baby! Six! That's all I got to say!
Go Pats! Heck yeah! Brady number six!
President Trump may face challenges within his own party in 2020. USA's Rick Vincent reports.
Former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld plans to headline Politics and Eggs in New Hampshire in 2 weeks, a must-stop for White House hopefuls. And Maryland Governor Larry Hogan expressed interest this week to CNN.
I'm not protesting every day about every issue, but when I stand up and certainly let people know when I disagree or when I think something is going on that I don't think is right.
And an email this week by former Ohio Governor John Kasich's political group reminded supporters that many have suggested Governor Kasich should run, and he is keeping all of his options on the table. For USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
And good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of Modern Design. I'm really excited about this show. This is a show I've been trying to do for a long time. I have somebody that I have worked with in the past who's really a consummate professional, has stuck in there. His name is Bill Scott, and he's with Remax. He is a realtor down the shore, but I guess he's out of the Keyport office. Welcome to our program.
Yes, thanks, Rich. Good to see you again.
So, Bill, I really wanted to do a show today specifically about the shore. Most of the people in this that are my clients in the tri-state area often have something down the shore, and if it's in the New Jersey, Pennsylvania area, often that's down the New Jersey shore. We have an amazing coastline. What attracted you to the shore? Are you from there initially yourself?
No, I actually grew up in Virginia, but I've been working here for the past 20 years.
Okay.
And we're in the northern part of the Jersey Shore. We actually call it the Bay Shore region, and we think we're kind of the hidden gem.
Absolutely. You know, where would you say, because I think people have a visualization that the shore kind of starts kind of like it's like Seaside Heights and then south down to Atlantic City, Cape May area. But there's certainly so much shore that's north that's so commutable and so easy for people to get to. So often they say Keyport is the gateway. They call it the gateway to the Bay Shore. Where does Bay Beach really begin? If I think about Staten Island and then Perth Amboy, and tell people about maybe if they take a ride one day, maybe before season, and just, you know, educate themselves on the water, on the coastline, and where does that kind of begin?
Right. Well, everything in New Jersey is defined by the Garden State Parkway.
Sure.
So if you start at exit 117, which is Keyport, the gateway to the Bay Shore region.
So that's kind of the beginning.
Correct.
And that's where your office is.
Exactly. We have our offices in Hazlet, Keyport,
right,
and Union Beach.
Oh, sure. Okay.
But if you go from down Route 36 and get off and head to the coastal roads, you really from Keyport down to Atlantic Highlands, which is about a 20-minute drive, is where this North Bayshore area is and where all the tremendous real estate bargains are with water views.
And views of Manhattan, which are amazing.
Yes. I mean, if everyone's heard about the explosion at Asbury Park, and it's wonderful, but now the two-bedroom condos are well over $1 million.
Yeah, yeah.
This particular area of the shore, you can have homes on the water facing Manhattan, the Victory Tower, views of the Outer Bridge and the Verrazano Bridge, starting at under $500,000.
It's just amazing. It really is. It's as you said before we went on here, it's a hidden gem.
It really is.
Okay, one of the things what we like to do every Wednesday is to take a look at the weather. So we're going to do that. We're going to take a couple of commercial announcements, and we'll be back. Let's take a look and see what's happening today. Okay. National Weather Service is now telling us, sorry, I got you all the way up from down the shore, and it says it's going to snow this afternoon. Oh, sorry about that. This afternoon, 30% chance of snow showers with a high of 40 degrees. Well, that doesn't even go together, 40 degrees and 30% chance of snow, so hopefully it won't snow. Tonight, there's a 20% chance of slight showers, snow showers with a low of 25. On Thursday, it'll be a mostly sunny day with a high of 42 degrees. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a low of 34. On Friday, it's a rain day, 30% chance of showers with a high of 51, pretty warm. Friday night, chance of showers, and then low of 31. Saturday, it says there's a chance of a rain-snow mix. Saturday night, 30% chance of a continued rain-snow mix. And on Sunday, 40% chance of snow with a high of 35. Well, that's kind of a mixed bag. My guest today is Bill Scott. He is a realtor in the Bayshore region. I'm going to talk about the Jersey Shore, what's trending down there, what people are buying, where the bargains are. Our program, again, is Modern Design. We're going to take a couple of brief commercial messages to pay for our program, and we'll be back with a lot more of Modern Design, the Shore Edition.
Folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for Modern Design. This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. I'm lucky to be in studio with somebody that I think is really good at what he does. He's been doing it a long time. His name is Bill Scott, and he's a realtor in the Bayshore region with RE/MAX. Why don't you tell us a little bit about where you're located, how we can get in touch with you? I know you have a lot of stuff online about you, your website, and so on.
Sure. I work out at the Hazlet, New Jersey office. We also have an office in Keyport. Like anyone else, the best way nowadays to get in touch with me is my mobile phone, and that number is 732-832-1225. My website has a lot of pictures of the homes, and it's a valuable place to start, and that's wescotthomes.net. But the real fun I like to have, and Rich and I are connected on Instagram, I love following his Maven Hill Design site, is on Instagram, because you'll get not only flavors of the houses, but you'll get information on the commuting. And I like to have fun, so once or twice a week I'm going to post a recipe or something I'm cooking or fishing or doing some sort of Bayshore related activity. And that's reality.realtor. So it's Instagram at reality.realtor.
And it is a good site. I'm often peeking on there back and forth and getting inspiration for each other. You know, this is a design show. We are going to talk a little bit about what people are doing down the shore, because I last season I had somebody on Signature Kitchens, Jess and her family, and they're in Point Pleasant. They were talking about how sometimes in the shore they decorate a little bit different, tends to be more coastal, a little bit more conservative. We'll talk about some of the fashion of that, what you see people putting into their houses and changing. I do want to talk about back in the day, though, and growing up. Growing up, we lived in New Brunswick in central New Jersey, and my father always wanted to have a shore house. So we were always looking in Point Pleasant for a shore house. But in those days, people didn't put a lot to the inside of their shore houses. Right. They had that, like, that plastic net with the fake crabs.
And right.
It was really – when did that start to become more sophisticated? Because in the later years, when I was even looking with you at places, maybe it's because people – things got more expensive and people were living down the shore full time, as opposed to it was so seasonal back in the day. But what was expected for a resale, I think, got a little bit better and a little bit more sophisticated, or maybe I'm wrong about that.
No, I think you're right. I think what changed was really the commutability. People were using the homes exclusively during the summer season.
Right.
And I think what really happened is then they started staying over Sunday night,
sure,
getting up early, driving Monday morning, and saying, you know what, this is not a bad commute.
No.
And with the mass transit that services the shore now, mm-hmm, between the Academy bus line, the regular rail line and then the C Street Ferry, you can be in this from the northern Bayshore area to New York City in an hour.
It's just amazing. Let's talk a little bit about the transit, if we could, because even some of it I don't know as well. I had to go into the city for a while. I had a major operation, and my doctor's office was on 98th and 5th. So what I used to do, actually, is I try to schedule them on Friday later in the afternoon when I wasn't working, and I would take the C Street in. Now, is there more than one ferry? I would go, I guess that's Belford, right?
C Street is actually in Atlantic Highlands.
In the Highlands. Now, is there another ferry?
Yes, there's another ferry at Belford.
Okay, which is a different one.
Correct.
Okay.
But they become so affordable. If you buy a book of 40 tickets, the round trip is now $34.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Almost comparable to the train or bus.
Sure, sure. I would take the ferry, and I took more than one places. There was parking to do it, and it was so pleasant. In fact, this was a double-decker one, and on the way back, it was a bunch of people that were, you know, Wall Street guys, and everybody was having a drink. There was a bar upstairs. Wow, was that a great way to commute. It was it was really nice.
Yeah, I have several clients that do it, and of course, it's great during the warm weather.
Sure.
But they enjoy the winter commute, too, because it's nice, cozy bar atmosphere.
I did it. Yeah, I did it once in January, and it was just beautiful. You know, when it's cold, it's clear, and then you really see all that stuff.
Right.
And it's just physically a beautiful way to get into the city.
Right.
Now, what about train line? How would you access, or where from the Bayshore would you access a train if you wanted to go in that way?
So the closest train stations are really the Middletown, New Jersey, as mm-hmm. well as Hazlet and Matawan.
Right.
So from Keyport, the Matawan train station is actually less than 2 miles away.
Wow.
And that express train in the morning, which does make a few stops, gets you to Penn Station in less than 55 minutes.
Wow. And then you had talked about the Academy bus line is down there. There must be a lot of commuter, like, park and rides, maybe on 36 or 35?
There's 36, 35, and there's a massive one. The PNC Arts Center lets the bus line use their parking lot.
Oh, what a great spot, because the parking is amazing there.
Right. Thousands of spots, right. All free, and the buses pull right up.
So that makes the Bayshore very doable.
Extremely commutable, and people are starting to find that out. More and more of my clients seem to be coming now from as far north as Rutherford.
Right.
Definitely the Amboys, and of course, there's always a healthy migration from Staten Island.
Sure. You know, I first learned about sort of the Bayshore region because one day I took a trip on the way back. I was done early. I had a client that was down the shore, and I wasn't ready to go home yet, and it was late, and I said, you know what I haven't been in years is that place Bars, the restaurant that's in the mm-hmm. – you know what? I want to qualify this because I use the term Atlantic Highlands and Highlands interchangeably, and they are two different places, aren't they?
They actually are two different townships. They
right.
do share some services.
Right.
Atlantic Highlands is a little further south.
Okay. So when you – obviously, the hook is just that. It's physically a hook, which is amazing. But when you're on the bridge, when you're crossing over to get onto the hook, and then if you go further down, you'd be down at Seabright and so on, that – where Bars is, that restaurant there on the water – is that Atlantic Highlands there?
Yes, that's actually Atlantic Highlands.
Atlantic Highlands.
The difference really is the Highlands are up the hill and slightly north, whereas Atlantic Highlands is right on
the water
river overlooking the sea.
Now, the reason I picked to go there is because this is how old the place is. For my 10th birthday, my parents took me there in the end of April to go down the shore, which was kind of fun. And was it the best food place probably at the time? No. But it was so pleasant. Now, as an adult, I'll go down there sometimes like on a Thursday night and just sit in on the deck outside there where all the boats are and have like a late dinner or drinks outside. They have the tiki bar. It's really pleasant out there.
It's a great atmosphere to watch the water and everything that goes on with it. And I'll give you a hidden gem, and I happened to actually be there for lunch yesterday, is Christine's,
okay.
which is right in Atlantic Highlands.
Okay.
In the second oldest building built in Atlantic Highlands in the 1880s. Wonderful brick ambiance, the original 10 deco ceiling, and the executive chef and owner, Ron Marino, just does a phenomenal, eclectic, high-end Italian menu that's tough to get into on the weekends. You need to call for reservations. That's Christine's.
Wow, that sounds nice. Someone told me, and I don't know after the storm if this went away, that there was something else with seafood in the Bayshore closer to key port where people did lobsters or something. There was a story that a couple of people told me, and I get pieces of the story. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, and we didn't talk about this ahead of time. I don't know if it was like a cooperative or somebody was doing something, and there was some buzz about something that was going on. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, the Belford Seafood Co-op.
Okay, is where the co-op, yes.
Yeah, was where the fishermen come in. What people don't know, and I think what you're referring to, is they're open for retail.
They are.
Year-round. Okay. And you're literally, the boats come in, day boat scallops are caught the morning, and you're buying them in the afternoon.
My goodness.
It's, you know, very rugged looking. Uh-huh. You're going into where the boats dock, but it's really cool. And not enough people know about it.
No, and it's really terrific. We're going to take some commercial messages, and we'll be back with a lot more of Modern Design, the Down the Shore edition.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi. Today is our shore edition. Have you ever wanted a shore house? Do you have young kids? Do you want to keep them with you for a while because they're not that annoying yet? A shore house may be a way to go. I'm with, very pleased to have in studio Bill Scott. I call this my clubhouse now. You know, Andy Cohen has a clubhouse. This is my clubhouse. With Bill Scott, and he's with RE/MAX out of the Bayshore office. And then, Bill, if they're just tuning in at this point or they pick up the podcast, how can they reach you to find out maybe if the Bayshore is doable for them?
Yeah, the best way is my mobile phone, which is 732-832-1225.
Our topic today is actually discovering New Jersey's Bayshore, the northern part of the shore, and how lovely it is and what gems and things that are sort of missed opportunities. You know, I see what's happening in, or has already happened actually for a long time, in places like Long Branch and places like Asbury Park, with the renewal is already, you know, too rich for most, I would think. I still think there are opportunities on the shore, just not that general area. Are there any towns, would you say, specifically in your reign there that are bargain towns?
Yes, the real bargain town is Union Beach, which is located right below Keyport.
Uh-huh.
It affords spectacular panoramic views of New York City,
right.
The Victory Tower, Manhattan, even the Verrazano Bridge on a clear day. And we're selling brand new homes there, up to 2,500 square feet, for less than $500,000 facing the city.
Right, with city views and a beautiful area. It's just amazing.
And that you actually are able, there is a beach at Union Beach. It's bayshore water. It's very clean.
Right. It's a bay beach.
Exactly. Uh-huh. But if you want the waves, you're literally 20 minutes south is Sandy Hook and that wonderful public state park there and all the beaches that are afforded down there.
I had heard a rumor, you know, going down to the Hook and that beautiful the wonderful bike paths and all the things that they have there. It's just a wonderful place to be, and I think it's a gem that if people haven't been to it, they should go down for the day. There were the barracks at the end there, the military barracks, and there was always a rumor that they were going to turn those into some sort of a housing or have housing right on the Hook, which you couldn't get a more beautiful place to be. Any sort of validation to anything done with housing there?
Sure. I mean, the first thing you mentioned, there is a phenomenal Henry Hudson bike trail, walking trail from Keyport where you can actually end up on Sandy Hook
that
enough people take advantage of.
Yeah.
And they have started developing the far end of the Hook where the officers' houses were.
Right, the officers' houses.
It's being developed. I can remember years ago, my son and I touring the barracks and haven't gotten quite as far there yet, but it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, it would just be beautiful. And then, you know, when you leave the Hook and then you come off and you go over the bridge and you go down in the highlands there and those streets that follow along the water and so on, there's kind of cute neighborhoods in there. Now, I know they were hit when we had the superstorm, but it seems that by now they really have certainly come back.
Right. I mean, if you remember, that's where you and I met, Rich. And,
exactly.
And homes were pretty much blown out at that point.
Sure.
But yes, now there's a lot of revitalization.
Yeah.
The builders down there are magicians because in many cases they're raising houses either at 25 or 50-foot lots.
Right.
And then basically rebuilding the entire structure from the outside in. So you're virtually getting a new house on base and a new foundation.
Right. What people don't realize about the Highlands is, you know, a lot of parts of the shore, when you go further south, I was in the shore on Saturday, it's all flat. When you're in the Highlands, there's topography. It's really interesting, don't you think? If you go up the hill a little bit, in fact, one of the places that you had taken me to was that high-rise building. I can't remember the name of it right now. That's on the hill there.
Right.
I can't remember the name of the building.
Yeah, it's one of the, there's many of them over there, but that part of the East Coast is actually the highest point.
Elevation-wise
in the East Coast, and behind that building, the Twin Lights Lighthouse.
Oh, it's amazing.
Is amazing, beautiful little museum and walking tour, and the views are just spectacular.
And, you know, it's so underappreciated. It's amazing. I've gone to the top of Twin Lights. First of all, it's the only double lighthouse in the United States.
Correct.
And you're so high up, and you're looking at Manhattan. It's just spectacular. I always wanted to say I wanted to have a party up there. You know, I know they ever do like parties up there. You can rent it out and have a wedding or something, or a big party up there. It's just such an amazing space.
It really would be.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many gems around there. Again, you have a combination of topography and mountains, and beach and New York City all in one spot as the crow flies, really close to each other. It's kind of magical, isn't it?
It really is, and typically I'm working on a Sunday with an open house till 4 o'clock, but a lot of times I'll go down to Sandy Hook and relax from like 5 to 8, and you see everything from the cruise ships. They all depart Sunday, so you see them leaving the city and actually can see them out in sea in front of your beach.
Exactly.
To, you know, just a nice time to wind down.
Exactly. And then in all price ranges, which is kind of nice, because I think if people knew that they could still do something, I think some people are in general, and they think about, you know, the shore, and they just think it's not affordable anymore. And this is nice that there's an option that is affordable and that you could look at things and there's a variety of things. But I wanted to ask you today was, are most people coming to you today that they still want a house, or are people more condo driven? You see, when you go up the hill and the Hook in that area there, you look to the right, you see rows of condos and townhouses. Does people's tastes have changed that if they're going to go to something for a second house, they want to be turnkey and not the maintenance? Or are people still looking for a bungalow type of the classic, you know, shore house?
Well, the classic, and I think they are still looking for the classic shore house. Mm-hmm. Superstorm Sandy changed everything. And you need to really think about things now having to be elevated. So the old bungalow has now become a nice two-story townhouse
sure.
on an elevated foundation.
Foundation, yeah. Yeah, and then how would you say sort of just in the Highlands itself? And I want to talk a little bit about Highlands now, not the Atlantic Highlands. Mm-hmm. I drove down, I don't know when it was, I took a ride. And if you go to the town of Highlands, you take 36 and you go to the town of Highlands, you see a lot of infrastructure there, restaurants and things sort of looking somewhat sophisticated and growing. So if you're on 36 and you go down towards Highlands, I think there's even a casino down there, isn't there?
Well, the casino is the old is actually the term for the old social hall.
Okay.
And it's
down not really
there.
A casino?
Yeah, so it's not, you know, it is okay. Not a casino.
Okay. But it seems also that there's restaurants down there. There's a movie theater. It looks like it's starting to come back. There's like a renaissance going on in Highlands itself.
It definitely is. The right number of restaurants opening, reestablishing themselves. I mean, that was a devastating storm. Over 80% of the homes and businesses were affected.
Sure.
So it took a couple of years to rebuild and come back, but it seems like people are discovering the secret now.
Right, right. All right, well, it's coming up to our news, so we're going to take a news break. And I do see that there's some – don't leave us. There's some snow outside. I know you have a little bit of a commute today. We're going to take a quick news when we're back, and I'm going to open our phone lines in the second half of the show. The phone number is 908-237-0410, 908-237-0410. We take advantage of the fact that we have Bill here with us today. Maybe you want to ask him a question about maybe having a second house, a shore house, where to go, what to do, and all about the Bay Shore. Okay, we'll take our news, and we'll be back after this.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Virginia's governor promises to remain in office despite widespread calls for his resignation. Ralph Northam is trying to distance himself from a racist photo in his 1984 medical school yearbook.
When I was confronted with the images yesterday, I was appalled that they appeared on my page, but I believe then and now that I am not either of the people in that photo.
Northam still faces a chorus of people calling for his resignation. He says he hadn't seen the yearbook until the picture surfaced on Friday. Republican House Speaker Kirk Cox says taking action against him may not be the best course.
And obviously on impeachment, that's a very high standard. And so I think that's why we've called for the resignation. We hope that's what the governor does.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Cars that sound like this. Trust Pennzoil Synthetics to protect their engines in extreme conditions. Top racing teams know that Pennzoil Synthetics give them the performance to help them succeed. And your car's engine deserves the same. Because your daily commute is no less important. Get complete protection for top engine performance just like the pros. Visit Pennzoil.com/rebate to save on Pennzoil Synthetics. Terms apply.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started.
HomeAdvisor.
Ahead of the State of the Union address, President Trump has decided to speak out about several military issues. After the president said sending U.S. troops to Venezuela was an option on the table, Margaret Brennan on CBS's Face the Nation asked him if he would personally negotiate with Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro to convince him he should leave office.
Well, he has requested a meeting, and I've turned it down because we're very far along in the process. You have a young and energetic gentleman, but you have other people within that same group that have been if you talk about democracy, it's really democracy in action.
He also said he wanted to leave U.S. forces in Iraq so he could keep a close eye on Iran. He also claimed that Defense Secretary James Mattis resigned because he told him to do it. This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
The New England Patriots are champions of the National Football League once again.
Yes, it's still a dynasty.
The call on the Patriot Radio Network as they beat the Los Angeles Rams 13-3. For most of the game, it was a defensive struggle. The score was tied 3-3, then midway through the fourth quarter, Patriot quarterback Tom Brady took over and led the Patriots on a 67-yard drive. That ended by a 2-yard touchdown run by Sony Michel that proved to be the game-winning score. The Patriots added a field goal at the very end. New England wins their sixth Super Bowl championship. Ram fans were disappointed, but Patriot fans were ecstatic.
Oh, six, baby! Six! That's all I got to say.
Go Pats! Heck yeah! Brady number six!
President Trump may face challenges within his own party in 2020, USA's Rick Vincent reports.
Former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld plans to headline Politics and Eggs in New Hampshire in 2 weeks, a must-stop for White House hopefuls, and Maryland Governor Larry Hogan expressed interest this week to CNN.
I'm not protesting every day about every issue, but when I stand up and certainly let people know when I disagree or when I think something is going on that I don't think is right.
And an email this week by former Ohio Governor John Kasich's political group reminded supporters that many have suggested Governor Kasich should run, and he is keeping all of his options on the table. For USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
And we are back. It's Rich Gadary with Modern Design. My guest today happens to be Bill Scott. He's with RE/MAX in the Bay Shore region, and we're talking all things shore. It may be snowing. Oh, it was snowing for a minute. No, is it still snowing? You can see we switched our, we're actually in temporary studios. There's a big building in the back on your way in, Bill. I don't know if you saw it or not. There's that big first edition you see in the back. That's going to be a television radio studio, and then everything's going to spread over there. We're in temporary space, but we're going to have a big television radio studio that will be in the back eventually. So we're in this beautiful historic, isn't it beautiful?
It's stunning, and I got to tell you, though, the Bay Shore weather forecasters, it's never snowing, it's never raining, it's always partly sunny.
Partly sunny,
exactly. Just so you know.
Let's talk about the coastal effects. I remember being a kid and getting ready to school, and it would be WCTC, and they would say, Raritan Bay and the coastal waters. So is the coastal influence make more snow, a warmer climate, or a colder climate?
In general, it's slightly warmer.
Warmer, right? Because of the water.
Exactly. Runs about 5 degrees warmer. But when you've got these nor'easters that come in the shore, a lot of times we'll actually end up with more snow than inland. So it really depends on the storm.
The storm.
But in general, we're running 5 degrees cooler. And what's nice in the summer is there always is a breeze down there.
Yeah, it's pleasant and it moves. I want to talk about a couple things that I love, and then we're going to talk about homes, resale, and we're going to talk about some of the different types of housing that they have down there and so on. And I want to start by talking about something that we both, I think I could say collectively we're about the same age. We get to a certain age and then words aren't there. The place I was thinking of, there's a high-rise building called East Point. I think
Correct.
In fact, you showed me, I think, one or two places in there. I don't know how many stories is. I probably say, what would you say it was about?
It's about 15 stories, I believe.
15-story building. I don't know if it was built in the late 70s. It looks like it was built in the late 70s.
It's actually, yes, early 70s.
Oh, early 70s. Yes. And it's really the only down in that part, it's only a real high-rise building.
Right. It's spectacular. They're on the cliff. It affords two side views, as we were talking about, of New York City.
You know, it's amazing because I did get a call to take a look. It was a couple that were New Yorkers. She was a doctor. And this is sort of his retreat, his sort of bachelor pad. And he had bought a two-bedroom place up there. And it was, you know, it needed some updating. It had the original parquet floors and that kind of thing. But we went on the balcony, and I felt like I was in a helicopter. I could not believe what I was looking at. You actually looked at the you saw a little bit of the balance of the Highlands to the water. You saw the bay side, then you saw the hook itself, beyond the hook, and then you were basically sitting in an Adirondack chair in the front of New York Harbor. It was just magical. You could see everything.
Oh yeah, and again, it is the highest point on the East Coast, so then put 12 or 14 stories on top of that. And the views are just stunning.
They really are. And there's a they have a magnificent pool in that place.
They do. That's a great complex. It has become pricey as, again, more people are discovering it.
And I think people are living differently, and they're embracing, I think, sort of a condo or apartment type living more than they have in the past. I think things run in cycles. Mm-hmm. That when I was growing up, everybody wanted the bungalow house. Now I think people are more open to, you know, it's hard taking care of one house. The second house, sometimes they want maintenance free, and that lifestyle is definitely maintenance free.
Right, and you know, I call myself the reality realtor on Instagram, but I'm very into fact based selling. And mm-hmm. for a while, condo sales were very flat, and mm-hmm. I just saw recently that last year condo sales actually ended up 7% versus previous year. So it speaks to your point exactly.
I wanted to bring up something else, both for investment and for people to sort of give it a try before they take the investment of maybe buying some, moving down the shore permanently or buying something, is the rental market down the shore. What's the rental market like in the Bay Shore? Can you get some deals? Is that a good way to start?
It's challenging. I mean, believe it or not, even with the storm being in 2012, there's still people displaced from their homes.
Okay.
So the rental market is still very vibrant, and they tend to come up quickly and disappear quickly.
Wow.
So there are investment homes still available, which uh-huh. I do a lot of business in, that haven't been touched since Sandy.
Right.
Now you're involving knocking a house down or raising it, but there's some great buys in that market.
Bill, you brought some wonderful pictures with you, and I think a picture is worth a thousand words, as I say. I'd like to take a look at some of the stuff you have. I know you have. You want to start with what's in front of you here, and I'm going to put it in my camera close. And here's a picture of a house that was raised. It's a good-looking house. It looks like it was probably rebuilt. I don't know what the history was of this beautiful home. Why don't you tell what town is this in?
So this is actually in Union Beach. This is actually new construction.
Okay.
So this area is facing the water.
Right.
Absolutely devastated. So that's a brand new foundation.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 2,500 square foot house.
It's a beautiful house.
Walk up attic, uh-huh. 4 to 5 bedrooms, got a first floor study, and again, priced at under $500,000. We actually closed that house Christmas Eve. For so a woman who was downsizing,
amazing. Now let me ask you a question because the things have changed, global warming and so on. Areas that weren't wet are wet now. People are building differently. When you build and you go up a story, now your base level floor, does it have breakout walls or not necessarily?
Depending on the zone. Okay. This one actually is on a solid foundation, but your first floor is basically a huge garage,
right?
Storage area, which you can finish, but can't be totally finished space.
So code is not really living space in that
correct.
Space, which
That's
would make
correct.
Perfect sense, of
right.
course. And then, of course, what's nice is now you have that second floor, and you're looking out. Depending upon if you have a view or not, you have a higher structure.
Correct.
Which is nice. So, this is a great-looking home, and the price point, as you say, is pretty wonderful.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit about that, and then we'll go on to the next picture. If I could sort of dream up what my shore house would look like in a perfect world, it would have cedar shakes, because I just love – I remember growing up and being so impressed by going through after Point Pleasant, you go through Bayhead.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of the quintessential grayish, siding with the two green, painted rockers.
Right.
And the awnings that were that dark green with that little thin gray stripes.
Yes,
oh,
yeah.
It was just as beautiful as it can be. What are people using sort of maintenance-free surfaces these days? Are they using the James Hardy siding? What do you see trending down there as far as the exteriors of homes?
Right. Well, everyone's using the architectural shingle product that
right.
would kind of look like what you're describing.
It emulates that.
Right.
Cedar shakes, but not cedar shakes.
Right. And it's actually, it's that color is
right.
all the way through the product, so you don't uh-huh. have the fading that you used to have
right.
with the vinyl siding.
Right.
And it gives you that look with modern day convenience.
Vinyl is not a good product for the shore with the heat and the sun because it swells and you have problems with it and
right.
fading.
Now, in your areas where you have the breakaway walls, that's
right.
where you're seeing a lot of the Hardy board being
right.
used
right.
Down there as well.
Very interesting. Things in terms of design when they're rebuilding houses, I think houses do look different. I think they look more transitional, just as in general with design, things have become from so traditional to a little bit more transitional. Are you seeing sort of trends in architecture?
Yes. I mean, you know, the buzzword is shore colonial.
Okay.
So you still have the kind of traditional center hall
right.
Interior, but to try to make it look a little more shorey, some maybe different ridge lines on the roofs. We're really pushing the builders to try some different colors.
Yeah.
The one you held up was more of a marine blue.
Sure.
We'd love to get to see some Mediterranean type colors on exteriors. I think that would be very exciting.
You know, one of the we did a show exclusively here last year called Coastal Chic, and people are really embracing things of nature now more than ever, you know, tied into contemporary and an updated design. But coastal, which I often say is you can do coastal anywhere, but coastal down the shore has got to be really kind of nice to have. I always said, you know, I have all this great coastal stuff. All I need is a place to put it in.
Right.
And blues and whites and really beautiful colors and sand and sort of relaxing. What are some of the things that you've seen people do that you'd say, oh, I'm going to do that to my house? Do you ever go to a house and you say, you take a picture like, I'm going to try this in my house?
Yeah, one of the things that's really hot now is both reclaimed wood and reclaimed piping. And
exactly.
There's a wonderful treasure down in Asbury Park. You may be familiar with the Salvage by the Sea.
Okay.
That's just got literally acres of reclaimed wood,
wow.
Doors, shelving, mantles. So we're seeing a lot of that, especially in the kitchens. And it just is, yeah, that's something that I want to do. And then even doing reclaimed built-in desk wood top with reclaimed pipe.
Wow.
And I've got a couple of craftsmen that are doing that and refer them to my people, and they're as busy as they want to be.
Yeah, no, the whole reclaimed wood is just – I'm building a restaurant right now in New Providence, New Jersey, and I have a bar that I'm building right now. It's actually a modular cage, and then you put a skin over it. So I got a pallet of reclaimed wood, and we're sort of working out the difference, the patina of the boards and putting it together and then putting them up. And it's really great, and it's just sort of hot. But for the shore, it's just, you know, it's sort of a natural fit.
Right.
Do you see people using reclaimed wood on walls? You know, I think about the old shore bungalows, and they were just all wood, and people came in. They wanted to get rid of that. Now we're kind of going back to that, but sort of not in every surface.
Right. I've seen it actually used really effectively on headboards.
Right.
King-size beds.
Yeah.
Almost get a mural of wood with the
paint
in the background.
It's so sharp, right? It's so sharp.
It really is, and it's, you know, it's great for the environment. It's all repurposed, and
right.
It's really the win-win-win of decorating, from what I'm seeing.
What about paint colors? You know, for a long time up in the northern part of New Jersey, when we had the dot-com years and all the wealth and so on, you saw a lot of the jewel tones and a lot of rich colors.
Right.
And with the change in times and a more contemporary vibe out there, we're kind of sort of mostly grays with a little blues and so on. Does that follow true of the shore, or you see a different palette down the shore?
To a certain extent, or that palette's just coming. There's a lot of white and nautical colors that are still being used, but we're slowly starting to see the grays and some muted blues coming down there.
You know, it's often said when you have either a mountain environment or a shore environment that a contemporary style house is the way to go, because often they're unobstructed views, more windows, and not a lot going on. There are periods of time that the contemporary is all everybody wants, and there are periods of time that people don't want that at all. So how about if you have a contemporary house down the shore? Are people more likely to go for the shore colonial or the contemporary home? I have to tell you, in this market, where we are here in Hunterdon County, if you had a split level, it was considered very undesirable. I shouldn't say undesirable, but it was much less desirable in the 90s and the early 2000s. Now what's starting to happen, because people are embracing when these houses turn over and younger people are going from their, you know, to their first house, or maybe have their first child and going bigger, what people are doing are they're taking that 1960s split, they're opening up all the interior walls, doing a beam, and that becomes a mid-century modern house, because what was it built in 1963? You do the cool modern furniture, and you've got something that's new and reinvented. So I think things go through cycles. What about down the shore?
The North Shore, I work with five builders, and I'm pushing one of them to take the leap forward and do a contemporary, because
right.
We just aren't seeing them there. Now, when you get down to where you mentioned the Point Pleasants of the world and further
right.
south,
right.
You are seeing some new constructed contemporaries, the boxish kind of style, but with huge windows
right.
opening up to Mother Nature. But
sure.
The North Shore, we're still waiting for somebody to put their foot in that water.
You know, it's funny. It sort of goes that even when I design, because I go all over the state, the further south I go, it's more traditional for the most part, but the further north I go, it's a little bit more contemporary. Maybe it's closer to Manhattan. And you do see those regional differences.
I'm sure you do.
Definitely. Let's talk about what else you have there, because there's a lot of other stuff here, yeah. And you have a lot to show us.
This one is actually facing New York City. And you're going to have two decks, one for the master bedroom, one for the living area, and then a side deck that's going to have water views down the beach. This one is going to set the record. It's out. It's going to be priced for $700,000. But this is a 3,200 square foot, four bedroom, four and a half bath, top end builder. All his bathrooms are travertine tile. He comes with quartz, all the high end finishes. And we've literally just got the pilings up and the demand. The people I'm meeting with, it might actually already be sold.
Wow.
Knock on wood. So
yeah.
The price points are starting to rise.
Yeah. No, so now's the time to get in because the interest rates are low. I think we had a little bit of a hint that it went up a little bit, I think, and then it went right down, and then people jumped, and I think that was part of it. Now, before we went on the air, you talked about the environment right now, that this is a fantastic winter market, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, exactly what you described. Mm-hmm. I had some closings in November, early December at 5.25% interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
And once the Fed raised, I think everyone took a little step back. And with the rates now down to 4.5% and 4.75%, it's been the most vibrant winter market we've had since 2008.
Do you think your spring market is starting a little bit earlier? Because we really haven't had so far. We're almost at Valentine's Day. Such a bad winter this year. Does that help you?
Definitely helps us. I mean, and especially the shore towns. We've had winters where when you get that 18-inch snow, they don't have the snow removal equipment that inland has. And we'll lose a week or 2 weeks. I remember literally carrying grandma over snow piles to get into houses to look at them. Knock on wood, we haven't had that. But we're seeing every year more of a year-round market.
I wanted to ask you about surfaces. You know, there's certain things that, let's say nature, you know, one of the things that I love when you go down the shore is you see the rugosa roses, right? Because they grow in a sandy soil.
Right.
Down the shore you see, because you don't have the same, in certain spots you don't have the deer, you see hydrangeas. They love that sandy soil. There's things that are intrinsic that do well. As far as surfaces on the inside of the house, just from a practical standpoint, when people are building or redesigning their house or maybe redoing it for resale value, are people using hardwood? Are they using tile? Are they using laminate? What surfaces are you seeing people use down the shore, whether they're redesigning or maybe they're planning to sell to trade up to a bigger house? What are they using for flooring, you say?
You know, there has been a resurgence in hardwood, but having said that, the products that are out there now that are actually ceramic tile made to look like wood are replacing everything, and especially for a shore home on the first floor where even if you have an outdoor shower, you're going to track sand in.
Sure.
And that product just cleans up so well versus the hardwood. But the hardwood styles are more light down at the shore.
Right.
You know, where my inland business, they're doing dark finishes, the coffee. I just had a home where they did a double ebony coat because they wanted the floors to look almost black.
Right.
But down the shore, it's going to be a light finish.
Sure.
So that's kind of where that's at.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of wood, but I do not recommend it. You know, even in my own house, sometimes I'll take a half day if I'm slow in the summer. And I'll take a Monday afternoon. I'll go down for a couple of hours. And if I forget to, because I like to hike a little bit when I'm down the shore, if I forget with just within my sneakers on the bottom, the sand I have, when I'm at my desk, I see it doesn't take too long. Because what are you doing when you're breaking down wood? You're sanding it.
Exactly.
You just be very careful. So I will say this, though. This is a mistake that people make all the time up here and down the shore. If you're going to make a commitment to do the tile that looks like wood, do it throughout.
Correct.
Don't butt it up to wood because that looks terrible. It looks like you've created something. That's the one mistake.
Right.
And in general, I think that people really need continuity of surfaces. Often shore houses tend to be a smaller footprint. Not always, but they do. And the way that you can make them look more open for resale and just look better in general is to have a continuum of surface.
Correct. That's good advice.
There was a little bit of a run for a while where people were trying sort of that white look for floors, but it didn't last very long. Did you ever see that in any time you go to that white wood?
Yeah, that they pickling, they called it, or whatever.
Or even like a white wash where it was almost white.
Right.
Short-lived, huh?
Yeah, it shows a lot of dirt.
Yeah, exactly. So definitely I love that for the shore, for those surfaces. And we talked on the outside about the composite or the material that looks like cedar shakes. What else are you seeing that's intrinsically shore? We talked about the weathered wood. You're talking about, and I'm hearing this not just from you, but I think people are getting bored with the white shaker cabinet, and they are looking for other things now. You know, I get to see the best of everything and things that are up and coming and they're trying to change. And recently I saw a new finish that almost looks, now you're going to say crazy, like a dark green, but it looks like gray, like a dark green. There's a kind of a green underneath. So I know the manufacturers are trying to introduce new stuff, right? Because you don't make money if everybody keeps their white cabinets forever and ever, right. And you have a fresh look. What are you seeing? You had sent me something, I don't know if it's in the pictures there, where people did the island in sort of like a royal blue in like a painted finish. I don't know if that was one of the files you sent me. It was sort of a contemporary kitchen. Or we can, you know, just talk about it if you don't have that image.
Yeah.
It was called Blue and White Kitchen. But the island was real modern looking, and the cabinets were real modern looking.
Yeah, I didn't print that out.
Okay.
This is part of it, though, where they did an accent cabinet in like a burnt orange color.
And right.
It's hard to see, but underneath the granite,
uh-huh.
they did that orange strip as well.
Right.
So that really brought things out. But yes, we're, I'm joking, you know, back in the 80s, it was when Chardonnay wine became overpopular, was ABC wine, anything but Chardonnay.
Right.
I'm like at ABWK, anything but a white kitchen.
Right.
And so we're starting to see the darker bases.
Uh-huh.
Starting to see, in general, some darker quartzite or going back to marble, because the quartz tends to be so light.
Right. Yeah. People, you know, it's kind of a funny thing. They're trying to introduce some things that were not that long ago, I guess we're getting older, but not that long ago, retro, and one of them is bringing back gold. And people that are in my generation are like, hell no, no wallpaper and no gold. But, you know, the younger generation, at Christmas time, I was over a friend's house who moved into Manhattan, and all her surfaces, black cabinets, and all her surfaces are gold. All her hardware is gold. All her light fixtures are gold. It's the new gold. It's not like the sort of 1980s, early 90s shiny Baldwin brass gold. Mm-hmm. It's sort of a matte gold, but really gold. And the younger people, the millennials, really embrace and are asking me specifically for gold. Another thing that I saw is a blue as a cabinet color. A medium blue or a dark navy, or if they have a white kitchen or a gray kitchen, they're doing the island in navy, and navy with gold, but more of a contemporary thing.
Wow.
I'm scared about that. I'm also somebody that says, you know, it's nice to put in pops of color, but do them in things that are movable. Maybe I would do an island in navy. I'm not sure I would do my perimeter cabinets in that. Have you seen that there or not as much?
No, we need your vision down at the shore. not yet. I have seen some dark bases with the blues, that green color you were just describing.
Yeah. But it's kind of like the sea. You know, like when you see the wintertime, you see the ocean, which in the northern part of the shore is not really so blue. It's sort of that greeny gray.
Correct.
Like that. And it was really fresh looking. It was kind of nice.
Yeah. I think if you match that with some nice window treatments that brought that out, it would pop.
How do you think people in general, do you think people are not putting as much thought when they decorate a shore house as they do their own house? Do you see that when you go to look at stuff or sell stuff, or are you doing a CMA for somebody?
Yes, you're definitely seeing that. And it really, it comes to what I just mentioned. You don't see the window treatments down the shore. Mm-hmm. Or if someone's living there full time, that will be the last thing they add.
Bill, I hate to tell you, but we are out of time. I'd like to give you, and we're going to do this again for those of you that follow me on social media. We're going to sit up and we're going to do a television episode that will air on Comcast and then be on YouTube. So Bill will be back as my guest on a different day, and we'll do that. So why don't you give your information one more time?
Sure, Richard. Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Mm-hmm. So it's Bill Scott. It's 732-832-1225. The website, which has a lot of the new homes, and I specialize in off-market homes where mm-hmm. that aren't listed. Mm-hmm. So you'll see some of those on there, and that's wescotthomes.net. And finally, to have some fun, and like I said, I really enjoy Maven Hill Design site. Follow me on Instagram. It's reality.realtor, and you'll see some things a little different.
Bill, as I knew, you were a terrific guest. Thanks for doing this, and we will do it again. Thanks for listening to our program and continuing to tune into Modern Design. Also, don't forget to watch on YouTube. New episodes are airing this week on YouTube under my name, Richard Christopher Scuderi, Design for the Times. Thank you all, and have a wonderful day. And be safe. It's snowing out there. Bye-bye.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Virginia's governor promises to remain in office despite widespread calls for his resignation. Ralph Northam is trying to distance himself from a racist photo in his 1984 medical school yearbook.
When I was confronted with the images yesterday, I was appalled that they appeared on my page, but I believe then and now that I am not either of the people in that photo.
Northam still faces a chorus of people calling for his resignation. He says he hadn't seen the yearbook until the picture surfaced on Friday. Republican House Speaker Kirk Cox says taking action against him may not be the best course.
And obviously on impeachment, that's a very high standard. And so I think that's why we've called for the resignation. We hope that's what the governor does.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Cars that sound like this. Trust Pennzoil Synthetics to protect their engines in extreme conditions. Top racing teams know that Pennzoil Synthetics give them